Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be talking about the R word, repentance. Is it the work of man or is it the grace of God? What do I mean by that? Well, there are some who teach, actually, let me clarify what I just said. There are many who teach that you first need to repent of your sins so that you can then be regenerated, made alive in the spiritual realm, and saved. So they teach that repentance precedes regeneration. Well, if that's the case, then is repentance really a gift of God? Or is it the work of man? It's the work of man, right? In other words, man takes the first step. He or she repents. And then God takes the next step, they say, and regenerates that person. So we see that with that order, repentance first, then regeneration, we see that actually man is the first cause. It is man's act of repentance that then triggers God's grace of regeneration. Well, is that what Scripture says? No. Go to John chapter 3. You all are probably very familiar with this passage of Scripture where Jesus had a nighttime visitor, a very, very religious man, the teacher of Israel, a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, though very religious, Nicodemus, though the teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, unfortunately, who had no idea how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said to him in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again, born from above, born of God, born in the spiritual realm. We all know that we come into this world physically alive, but we are spiritually dead to God because we've all inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve, a sin nature that separates us from God, a sin nature that causes us to live in rebellion, hostility to God, a sin nature that causes us to want nothing to do with God. And so we need to be born again. We have been born once physically in the physical realm. We need to be born again, born from above in the spiritual realm. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. You must be born again. In fact, Jesus down in verse 5 says it a second time, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. He's not referring to Christian baptism. He's referring to the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, the regenerating power, the washing of the Holy Spirit, recreating a person from the inside out. Unless one is born of water and Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we see very clearly that our Lord says that you must be born again, regenerated, right? Well, how does that happen? Does repentance precede regeneration? Or does regeneration precede repentance. You see the difference? If you say that repentance precedes regeneration, that means that as a human, you're the first cause. It is your work, your act of repentance that then triggers in God's act of regeneration. But if you say that regeneration, being born again, then leads to repentance, what you are saying then is that your repentance is a gift of God. It is the grace of God. He regenerates you. He gives you the gift of faith to be able at that point to repent of your sins and to place your faith and trust in Christ alone. Do you see the difference? If repentance precedes regeneration, then repentance is actually a work of man. If regeneration precedes repentance, then repentance is the grace of God, right? Let's see what Jesus says about being born again. Verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, right? As a human, if you're a parent, you're of flesh, you're a human being, you're a physical being, alive in the physical realm, and you produced, gave birth to, right? Another physical being. Flesh, what is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Again, Jesus is continuing this idea of being born again, born from above, born of God, regeneration. Jesus says to Nicodemus, verse 7, do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. And then verse 8, Jesus uses a physical analogy, an analogy in the physical realm, to teach a very important spiritual truth about how one is born again. Verse 8, the physical illustration. He says the wind, when it blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. It's true, right? You can tell that the wind is blowing, but you were not able to predict when it would start blowing. You're not able to control it while it's blowing, and you're not able to predict when it stops blowing, right? Again, Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. How do you know that the wind came and then went? Once you see the effects of the wind, right? Down here in South Florida, we have a season. It's called hurricane season. And we are very, very aware that the wind will suddenly kick up and blow. We can't control it. We can't stop it. You know, even though you have the hurricane center and you've got all kinds of radars trying to predict this, nobody can control the wind. Well, once that hurricane wind starts to blow, we here in South Florida, we immediately hunker down in our homes. We try to find the safest place and we wait out the storm. Very often when we're sitting in our homes, we can hear the wind blowing. Again, we can't see it. We certainly can't control it. And we don't know when it's going to leave. We just keep praying, please, Lord, take this wind out of here, right? Well, how do we know how strong the wind had blown the next morning when we no longer hear the sound of the wind? We slowly peek our heads and look out the window or maybe open the door. I don't hear any wind. I don't see the trees blowing like last night. And then we come out and we assess the damages, right? We can tell that the wind blew. We can even tell the strength and the of that wind based upon the impact that we see afterwards, right? Jesus says, after giving that analogy about the wind, he says, it's the same thing for everyone who is born of the Spirit. When is a person regenerated? After that person tries to control the wind of the Spirit by first repenting? Nope. Can't control the wind. You can't control the Holy Spirit. Okay, Andrew, how does a person know that he or she was regenerated by the Holy Spirit? How did we know what the wind did in the evening while we were hunkered down in our home? We see the effects of it the next day. It's the same thing when you're born of the Spirit. You suddenly have a new desire. You suddenly have a new heart, new mind, new will. You're a new creation in Christ. The, quote, wind, unquote, of the Holy Spirit has blown. You've been regenerated. Not because you controlled the Holy Spirit by first repenting. No. Look, you're a dead person, right? Dead people don't have a desire for God. I heard somebody say, I think it was Dr. Steve Lawson. What do dead people do? They stink. That's all they can do, right? That's all dead people can do. Dead people, those who are dead in the spiritual realm, will not repent because they cannot repent. They have no desire to repent of their sins and to place their faith and trust in Christ alone. So repentance does not precede regeneration. Rather, as Jesus here talks about being born of the Spirit, first regeneration occurs. The, again, quote, wind, unquote, of the Holy Spirit blows. Takes a spiritually dead person and makes that person alive. That's called regeneration. You can't control that. You don't actually know when it's happening. How do I know it happened? You will see the effects of it, that it occurred, that the Holy Spirit made you alive. Again, suddenly you have a new desire, a desire for God. Suddenly you have a desire to repent of your sins and to place your faith and trust in Christ alone. The Holy Spirit regenerates you. The Holy Spirit gives you the gift of faith now that you're alive, so that at that point you can repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ alone. Repentance comes after regeneration. Therefore, repentance is a gift of God, is the grace of God. Where again, you're given the gift of faith to now be able to recognize your sins and to repent of them, truly, truly repent of them and place your faith and trust in Christ alone. In fact, just hop over to Ephesians chapter 2, again, verses that you're very familiar with, but I want you to pay special attention to what is being said here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. What is the gift of God? Well, let's see. The grace that has chosen you, the grace of God that has redeemed you, the grace of God that has regenerated you. It's a gift, right? You don't choose God, He chooses you. So we see that the grace, God's sovereign saving grace, is a gift. But notice, something else is a gift, faith. For by grace, you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, the grace and the faith, not by works, so that no one will be able to boast. So again, regeneration occurs first. You are born of the Spirit. The wind of the Holy Spirit blew. You didn't control that. You didn't ask for that. How do you know it happened? When you see the effects of it, the fruit it produces. Suddenly you're a new creation in Christ. Suddenly you're alive in the spiritual realm. But you also have then been given the gift of faith. Now that you're alive, and you have the gift of faith, suddenly, well, Romans chapter 10. Now you're able to, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Because God in his grace elected you, redeemed you, and regenerated you, and because God in his grace gave you the gift of faith, now you're able, for the first time in your life, for the only time in your life, to suddenly confess your sins, to have deep contrition that you have been living in rebellion against a holy, righteous, and just God. Again, a dead person, one who is spiritually dead, will never repent of his or her sins, because again, he cannot. He's dead. So regeneration comes first. You're made alive. You've been given the gift of faith. Now suddenly you have this overwhelming desire to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And guess what? You're saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And who is the whoever? Everyone who's been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's been given the gift of faith. These are the people who will call on the name of the Lord. Again, if repentance precedes regeneration, that means that a spiritually dead person somehow has worked up the will to recognize his sins and repent of his sins and submit to the law of God, where he places his faith and trust in Christ alone? Really? No. Chapter 8 of Romans, we see it very clearly. Verses 6 through 8, Paul says, the mind set on the flesh. This is a person who is dead to God. This is a person who has not been regenerated. This is a person who's not saved. The mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit, this is a person who's been regenerated. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now watch this. Because the mind set on the flesh, a non-believer, wants to repent of his sins and submit himself to God. Is that what it says? No. The mind set on the flesh, a non-believer, is hostile toward God. Do you see it? This is a person who has not been regenerated. And for those who teach that that same person, somehow, some way, through an act of his will repent of his sins, so that God then regenerates him, well, that goes against Scripture right here. Because Scripture clearly declares a non-believer is hostile to God. That non-believer's not going to repent of his sins. That non-believer's not going to trust in Christ. He can't. He's hostile toward God. He does not subject himself to the law of God. You know, repent and trust in Christ. He doesn't subject himself to the law of God. In fact, it says here, he's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, to say that repentance precedes regeneration is to say that a dead person somehow works up the will to repent. Why would a person who's dead to God, who's dead in the spiritual realm, why would that person repent of his or her sins? Scripture says he's hostile to God. He doesn't love God. He wants nothing to do with God. Again, he's dead to God. Yeah, but Andrew, the Bible talks about you must repent, you must confess. Of course. But think of the order. Regeneration must precede repentance. God is the first cause. God is the one in His grace who makes dead people live. The Holy Spirit regenerates a person. This is grace. That person did not look for it, ask for it. That person doesn't even realize he or she is dead to God. Because that person wants nothing to do with God, does not think of God, and certainly doesn't want to repent of his or her sins. No, the Holy Spirit, think of the wind, blows where it wishes, when it wishes, you can't control it. The only way you know what the wind did is afterwards you see the impact. It's the same with everyone, Jesus said, who's born of the Spirit. And why is it that after a person's regenerated, that that person then has a desire to repent and trust in Christ? Well, because that person is now alive in the spiritual realm. That person's been given the gift of faith. And every person who's been regenerated will repent of his or her sins and trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. If repentance precedes regeneration, then repentance is the work of man. If, as the scriptures clearly declare, regeneration occurs first, then repentance, repentance then is the grace of God. It is a gift of God, right? You see the difference? Now, let me just clarify a little bit. I kind of drew kind of like a timeline that perhaps makes it sound like, okay, regeneration occurs on this day, and then the gift of faith comes on that day, and then repentance comes and No. Look, God's gracious act of salvation, you know, is based on God's timing, God's power, God's grace. And so we don't want to, you know, kind of, so that it's understandable to us, we don't want to kind of put together this, you know, almost, you know, flow chart or, you know, something like that, or some timeline. No, we just want to show the order, okay? Again, when the Holy Spirit regenerates somebody and gives them the gift of faith, and, you know, and God declares them justified and they're adopted into God, all that stuff. I mean, that is the work of God. And that is something that God does in His amazing grace and amazing timing, right? Again, a lot of theologians talk about how this is just the instantaneous act, one time for all time act of God. And I agree with that. Again, how long in between regeneration? That's in the mind of God, right? And so we don't want to add something to Scripture that's not there. Scripture doesn't tell us, again, like we see the days of creation, you know, six 24-hour days. We know that Joshua and the Israelites, they walked around Jericho, marched around Jericho, you know, 7 days. We know that the Israelites were in the wilderness, you know, 40 years. We know that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, 40 nights. So, but when it comes to, you know, really God's act of salvation, Scripture doesn't give us, again, this timeline, you know, how many minutes, how many seconds, how many hours, and so forth. So we want to be careful with that. But Scripture does make it very clear that a dead person wants nothing to do with God, will not submit to the command of God, cannot submit to the command of God, right? Therefore, repentance cannot precede regeneration. Rather, God's saving act is first. God is the first cause. You're regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. You are now alive in the spiritual realm. You have been washed from the inside out. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. You have a new will. You're a new creation in Christ. You've been given the gift of faith. And as a person who's now alive to God, you have this overwhelming desire to truly repent of your sins and to place your faith and trust in Christ alone. And because regeneration precedes repentance, guess who gets all the glory? God alone. But if you teach that repentance precedes regeneration, then that's the work of man. Who gets the glory? Man. Even if people will say, well, but it's God and man. Oh, God says he will not share his glory with another. And so, when you think about how the wind of the Holy Spirit blew in your life and took you from spiritual death to spiritual life by his divine grace, and that he gave you the gift of faith to be able to repent and place your faith and trust in Christ alone, the fact that you have been justified, the fact that you are in God's family, the fact that you are sealed, that your inheritance in heaven is guaranteed. Think about it. Did you share in any of that? Or was that all the grace of God? Of course. And as a result, all the glory goes to our gracious God. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.